Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio. Welcome back, Game Time, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course, the 1620 The Zone mobile app. Interesting email here. Clark emails in, and this is kind of sad that, like, how I'm going to answer this question, but, like, Clark emails in and says, am I totally naive to think some Division I basketball players are actually seeking an education? I don't know Brady Hyman, but he can be an example. What if he wanted a degree from UNL? Now he's chased, cut. He could have gone to Kearney from the start, not even a medical waiver, which I recall Alabama getting criticized for some time ago. Cut like the pros. For all the rage about Fred, I haven't heard him mention getting a degree once. Certainly not in his award-winning hiring press conference. Am I naive? You know, I would say you're a little naive, unfortunately. I don't mean that negatively. And you know what? In some ways, it's a window not into you, Clark. It's more a window into, like, basketball players and the reality of that situation. 90% of the basketball players, like, a lot of those guys, they're there to play basketball, right? It's not like education is just like a second, like a, I'm going to this school because it's the best basketball situation and I'll make the education system work for me, you know? Now, of course, you get your handful of guys that want to be, have it all mapped out. You know what I mean? Like, I think a guy like Pierce Hibma, who was one of my roommates at Creighton, like, he's a doctor now. Like, I think a part of Creighton was, like, he was going to go, wanted to, like, the med school and all that stuff. Like, there are times where I'm not saying it never is a thing. But 90% of the time, Mitch Ballack came to Creighton because of basketball. And I went to Kansas because of basketball. And I then transferred to Creighton because of basketball. And Damon went to Nebraska because of football. And Verz went to Nebraska because of football. And to defend the dumb jock stereotype that some people may have on that is, like, to a certain extent, how many of you guys went to college totally knowing what you wanted to do? You know what I mean? Like, right. So I think a part of the whole process of college is figuring out what you want to do, you know? Like, I would say that was one of the biggest difference, like, especially at the bigger schools, like Kansas, the state schools and whatnot. Like, people always ask me, what was one of the biggest differences between Creighton and Kansas in terms of just, like, going to school? Besides the class size, I mean, you'd be having big classes in huge auditoriums at Kansas. At Creighton, there were a lot of more intimate classes with 10, 15, 20 people in it. But what was different, the biggest difference, there were a lot of students at Kansas that were at Kansas because it was just the next step in their life and they weren't sure where all this was going to go, but they're here, they're enjoying it, they're going to figure out where this leads them. You know what I mean? At Creighton, boy, you walk up to someone walking on campus, say, hey, why are you here? Okay, well, I'm going to get a minor in science, then I'm going to get a major in this, then I'm going to go to grad school. Like, they have their like at 19, they had it all planned out, you know? But a lot of college is figuring out who you are and what you want to be. And so, it may be sad to hear for some people, but, you know, Glenn Watson came to Nebraska because he wanted to play basketball for Nebraska. Sure, you want to graduate and all that stuff, but there isn't, like, anything specific within the academic situation that you're really, like, thinking about, you know? I mean, sure, I remember when I went through the recruiting process, I knew I wanted to get into sports broadcasting, so I would ask about this, like, hey, what's your journalism broadcasting department like or whatever, but, like, I mean, at the end of the day, Creighton doesn't really have, like, Creighton has a journalism, but it's all, like, print, you know, like, but That didn't deter me from going there because it was a good basketball situation for me. That's just, I know that sounds, it's just kind of how it goes. Let's grab Jason at 402-951-1620. Hey, Jason, fire away.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
When Fred Hoiberg was hired as Nebraska's new basketball coach, I knew that the roster turnover was going to be high because when you hire coaches like Hoiberg, they come in, they're at a completely different level than what Nebraska has been used to. We've had nothing but mid-major coaches at Nebraska pretty much my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I was born in the 70s. So this is an exciting time. And if you don't fit in with the philosophy, with the skill set, because the skill set to play basketball at Nebraska now is pretty much NBA level. And because that's what Hoiberg, you know, that's his offense. That's what he wants to do. Mid-major players are not going to come to Nebraska and be refined into these top-level players. We're getting players that have the physical attributes to be top-level, and now we're going to develop them into being top-level. And Nebraska basketball fans have to remember that. If you want to take Kentucky basketball and compare it to Nebraska basketball, it's the exact opposite. Kentucky's at the top, Nebraska's at the very bottom, and it's all about talent. Mm-hmm. We have the facilities and the coaches in place right now to succeed. Now we just have to get talent in here, and that's why you see, what did you say, 11
new players, yeah.
Yeah, they're on the roster right now.
Right.
And Roby really was the only player I thought that could fit and play under.
Right. Yeah. You know, Jason, appreciate the phone call. You know, there's a lot of what Jason said that I agree with. I mean, I thought I was one of the things that I always thought, even, you know, at the end of the season where it was like, you know, is Miles going to get fired? Is he going to stay? The one thing that was always a concern was that Nebraska was not going to be good next year. Like, I was not high on this roster moving forward. And so in some ways, it doesn't surprise me that Hoiberg, not only just from the fact that these guys didn't really fit what he wanted to do, I think there's a chance he just looked at all these guys and said, "Guys aren't good enough." I know that sounds harsh, but these guys aren't good enough, and that's how it goes. That's how it goes. But it doesn't change the fact that I thought it would be a total roster flip. But this has been incredible, where you have 11 new players since April 12th. So in like 33 days, 11 new players. I mean, that's one new player every 3 days, the past 33 days. Unbelievable. And, you know, you sit there. I got an email earlier on, you know, what is Hoiberg doing or selling or has that other coaches at Nebraska didn't? And Jason's kind of hit, like, I mean, he's a different level of coach. He's had success at a different level. But I think there's four things he has. Number one, connections, a.k.a. Matt Abdelmassi. The guy's really tied in and well-connected. He's known for the ultimate transfer guy in the recruiting world. Nebraska, during the last month, has signed a lot of transfers. Number two, the style. Fred Hoiberg runs a distinct, attractive brand of basketball to go sell to these players. NBA, wide open, fast paced, shoot a lot of threes, give the player tons of freedom style of ball. And that's what, when you hear players say things like, "Man, I just want to go hoop," what they're saying is they kind of want to go play Fred Hoiberg style of basketball. For the record, it's the style that Greg McDermott plays. Very attractive brand. Play fast, green light, shoot threes, don't have to look over your shoulder at the bench. So when Hoiberg sits down and lays out the vision, it's an attractive picture he paints for the players. Within that, though, which leads me to his third thing that he has, is credibility. Because what takes an amazing vision and really makes it pop is credibility. I can have an amazing business plan, but I've never really done it in that field. It gets more challenging for people to buy in. Hoiberg can, you know, lay out the style and the fast pace and the threes and all those things, and he's got the track record to back it up. And then not to mention the guy was just the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. It's a big brand, right? Carries a lot of weight when he stands in front of those recruits. And dangling that NBA carrot matters. It does. Almost every major recruit's dreams is to go to the NBA. And if they feel like linking up with Hoiberg can help make that happen, that's huge. And Hoiberg's credibility is big in that regard. And then lastly, the biggest thing to me, one of the biggest things that he has to go sell when he's talking to recruits is playing time. Playing time. There are no established players or roles with this team yet. This is literally a blank slate. I guarantee you that is something that he has laid out to these recruits. Imagine we're flipping the roster. Everyone's starting from the same spot. Because we could talk about, you know, what is important to players and all this stuff, facilities. All, like, a big part of it is playing time. Style of play, playing time, and they want to win. Those are the three biggest things to me. Kids want to go where they feel like they're going to go play. And there's playing time to go sell. And that's an attractive thing, too. 402-951-1620. Let's take a couple calls before we get to Brian Munson. What's up, Jim? Appreciate you calling. Go ahead.
Hey there. How we doing, Nick?
Good, good.
Good. Hey, as I see it, there's only two reasons you really flip a roster like this. One's lack of talent, and the second is to get rid of a culture. And I wanted to know if you really thought it was truly a just dynamic talent upgrade, or if there was, no, we really needed to get rid of a culture as well.
I think, Jim, and I appreciate the phone call. I think it's, I would add something there. It's about fit, too. You know, there's the raw talent aspect of this, and then there's the fit aspect. Again, what Fred Hoiberg likes is versatility and three-point shooting. Brady Hyman, non-shooter. Amir Harris, non-shooter. Thor, non-shooter. Like, there's a lot of guys, they're not shooters. And they're not overly versatile players. So I think a part of it is fit. The culture, I don't know. I mean, the culture, that's tough for me to, I don't know about that. But I think the big thing, I think the prevailing thing was fit. And now fit, I mean, some of that comes back to talent. You know, you have to have specific talent skill set to be able to fit, right? But I think the prevailing thing was that, to me. 402-951-1620. All right. Coming up next, let's get a recruiting update. Husker football-wise, Brian Munson, Rivals.com, HuskerOnline.com joins me next.